As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside, at least for me, Ben Garrett, the Riverland Roofing Studios. Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs. 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. My thanks to them, DNA Bank, Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, Tannehill Carmen, real estate and title. I mean, there's just estate and title, excuse me. There's so many that have sponsored us and have really just thrown their support behind us, not just through the last few weeks, but for months and this year and last year. I mean, great people. So support them. Today with me is Matt McLaughlin. Man, Matt, you have, as much as anyone in that Ole Miss administration, have had one hellacious handful of days. You know, Billy Glasscock follows Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss's general manager, to LSU. That means that you had to maybe pick up some duties you weren't expecting. First of all, how you doing? How you feeling? You got any sleep yet now that signing day's done?
It's been a few weeks of no sleep. So, you know, it just didn't pop up overnight. You know, we've been pretty locked in for the last, 6 weeks or so with stuff going on. So obviously happy to jump in and help out, keep the things rolling. But yeah, man, this is, you know, Walker and I were actually talking about this yesterday. You know, this was the perfect pressure test to our infrastructure. It's been pretty seamless, you know, so it made us feel really good and even more confident about what we built here. Is just, even when you have a departure like that, things just keep moving right along. We stay on track, stay on schedule. And there wasn't some big, you know, crazy thing that popped up where we're really put behind a deadline or behind the eight ball. So it's been really good. You know, it's been stressful. It's been fun, but man, I'll tell you, the energy in the building right now makes it a fun place to come. I'm not in my normal office. I'm over at Manning. Walker and I kind of moved into Manning for interim period, you call it. So it's been really good though.
Yeah. What's been the vibe over there that since you've had to move into an office that wasn't yours, you know, like and fold into it, you know, what's the vibe, the mood, like you said, it's been pretty seamless. Obviously you're going to lose some commitments, but Ole Miss still, the vast majority of the class remained in place, and Ole Miss is still working on some other prospects as well. It's not necessarily done either. Then the portal strategy stuff comes in January. Before we get to that stuff though, what's just the vibe now that the thing that has dominated everything, when the focus was supposed to be on 11-1 and signing day and all this kind of stuff, It was about anything but for the last 2 weeks. Has the vibe shifted in a noticeable way now that you're over there every single day?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I would say, you know, the vibe is, well, you know, going back to when everything kind of went down, it was obviously weird. You're trying to figure out who's staying, who's going. So I think that was first and foremost, we needed to kind of lock down the building, so to speak, and make sure that we could have some freedom of movement and conversation with people kind of still getting pulled away. We were prepared for that, but I think the aggressive nature in which we were dealing with it was a little bit unexpected. You thought maybe we'd have a little more leeway there, but we were ready for it. So I think locking down the building was kind of a interesting 24, 36 hours. And then after that, it's like, hey, this is the crew. This is who's rolling with the Rebs. And and we're locked in. And the energy, I think from that moment where it's kind of like, hey, we're here. This is who's going to take us into the playoffs. And after that, man, the vibe has been super high. It's been really fun, actually. And Pete's energy is electric, as you know, and his leadership stepping into that chair and that role has been seamless. You know, he was kind of the main engine in this building too, right? Like from an energy standpoint, keeping the guys in line, the players loved him. So, you know, from a player management through the transition standpoint, that staff has been outstanding. And then, you know, we had to jump into personnel, you know, because that's where we had a lot of staff leave. And so that was the immediacy of at least our line of thinking. And we wanted to make sure that we were on top of that, stayed on top of the schedule we had already, you know, laid out. And so far, so good. But yeah, vibes are high, man. Vibes are high.
Speaking of that personnel and the work y'all had to do, what was the last 36 hours leading up to National Signing Day like? No, I mean, it's out there. I've reported on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. If you're on three, sign up today for $1. I'm not asking you to like confirm it or anything, but man, Lane and the guys that went to LSU, their goal was to take as many as they could as possible. They got a few, but for y'all, what were that those 36 hours like to preserve the bulk of the class, knowing that it's not over? What was the chaotic nature like in those wars, in those hours where you don't know who's going, who's staying, but you got to keep putting the work in, right?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously we knew where we stood going into all that. You know, we had a great dialogue with the past personnel. So it's not like we walked in and documents were burned and destroyed or anything. Like we had a really good working, you know, relationship with Billy. And so, you know, we felt like we were in a good spot and we were prepared for this contingency. You know, we had this plan rolled out. We knew what we were going to do. So we had everything prepared. So, but the biggest thing I think, and, you know, Walker has been awesome this whole time, obviously, but he's been great in this spot as well. But just, hey, we got to get the staff together. Just because evaluations were won prior doesn't mean the evaluations with the current staff are what, you know, we need to make sure that was still on point. So from a National Signing Day perspective, you know, the staff just kind of jumped in, and the 85 roster limit cap for the spring plays a big role in this. I don't think that's something that people really talk about very much. So you got to make sure you're signing the right guys and impact guys, just to give yourself as much flexibility as humanly possible. Obviously you want to have a great signing class every year, but in this unique circumstance, I think it was important to make sure we got the right people to sign early. And then after that, we'll kind of sort it out. But again, man, the staff was outstanding. The main recruiters are still here and active and had all the relationships. So obviously you're going to lose some in transition. You see that no matter what, but you know, again, I think everyone's really pleased with the guys we got and giving ourselves the flexibility to attack the portal like we have the last few years.
I didn't mention it, but Matt is Ole Miss's senior associate AD for strategy and cap management. What's kind of like the health then, Mr. AD for strategy and cap management, of the books, of the approach, of the cap? You know, Ole Miss has been better than most everyone else, at least for the last 3 years, of doing what it does well, right? Even with Lane now somewhere else. First of all, man, Pete was the one, while Lane's talking to four different schools, including Florida State, which came out, you know, recently, Pete's in there, you know, spearheading portal strategy and recruiting strategy to keep the business of Ole Miss moving forward in the actual building. In your opinion, through all of that and where things are now looking ahead to the transfer piece, what is the health of just the books and the cap and all those kind of things, right?
Yeah, so keep in mind, the cap isn't a stagnant. It's living and breathing. So, right, you know, you can kind of you can squeeze, you can stretch, you can pull, you can kind of do a lot with it. So I think the ones that will be really good in this space do it from that vantage point. It's not a fixed budget. I tell coaches that all the time. So it's, hey, this may be where we're at today, but a couple of series of events, it'll look like this. So, you know, we kind of go through that. Walker and I spent a lot of time on that. Just talking through our cap position. So we're in a great spot and we'll continue to aggressively attack, you know, being creative and in the space of not just how we manage the cap, but in the NIL space. I think we've been really good. We've seen a lot of success in the new system. While a lot of people were hesitant and wanting to, you know, rage against the machine, so to speak, of the new NIL Go system, we just approached it as, hey, this is where we're at. Let's try to work it as efficiently as possible. And I think after a month or so, we got our footing down on it and what they're looking for. And again, I said this in previous interviews, like the CSC wants the athletes to have these opportunities. They're just looking for specific things per the settlement rules. So we want to make sure we're compliant and all those things, but that doesn't mean we can't be the best and most efficient at working the system to benefit our student athletes. So we've been really good in that space and we'll continue to be. And like I said, it's living and breathing. So one moment you're like, I wish, you know, had a couple more shillings, but then the next, the next minute you're like, we're all right. We can kind of move some stuff around and get this figured out. So it's been really good. It's unique, right? And I've taken a lot of what the NFL does, you know, from how they manage cap, but this is unique, right? You have other opportunities to do things in the college space that not necessarily in the NFL. So adapt a lot of those principles and talk to a lot of those guys in the league. And obviously those guys are really good at it and we approach it very similarly. So for us, we make decisions with what we have in front of us right now, but it's a lot of short-term planning, but then long-term planning and trying to find sustainability in the long-term is really high importance to me.
Right now, as there's this time of transition with Ole Miss's general manager, Billy Glasscock, in LSU, going to bring in a general manager, obviously talking to candidates, but right now it's you and Walker kind of handling that piece of it from the top down. What is the most pressing thing right now on your agenda list, right? Like what are y'all most focused on today? Because the transfer portal in January, that's January, and quite literally there's plenty on the docket today. What is the most pressing stuff, would you say?
I think initially it was, hey, what are we doing with the signing class? And then just making sure philosophically, you know, Pete's going to have different, you know, he's going to have different opinions than our previous coaches and evaluators. And so it's just, but we're making sure like, hey, before we decide on anything, like, hey, this, can we just have a 30,000 foot view? And so kind of making sure that everybody understood the system that we had, how we weighted position groups, and, you know, Pete's going to have different opinions on that too. So we want to make sure before we went into the signing day and handcuffed ourselves that we were on the same page there. And it was pretty easy. Again, it's not the first time these guys have seen it. Joe Judge has also been fantastic in this space too. A lot of credit to him in the transition too. And because, you know, Pete's been having to fight for a lot of battles on a lot of fronts. So it's been good from an evaluation standpoint to work with him, and the rest of the staff's been awesome. But anyway, just to make sure philosophically that we knew where they were in the short term. And then obviously retention is the biggest thing. That's really the top biggest thing on my mind is just retention. We got to get in front of these guys and make sure that we are being proactive. And we've had initial conversations, but wanted to make sure with all the distractions that we didn't add another layer to it too early. You don't want to be too early in those conversations, but you certainly don't want to be too late. So we're right in that happy medium. Like I said, when I say we're on time, we may have been 8 hours, you know, hey, we should have met with those guys at 12 today. And now it's, you know, we'll meet with them in the morning, but we've been really on schedule this whole time, which has been really good. So retention will be the biggest thing here in the future, because that sets the table for the portal and what your needs are. And obviously we got to make sure that we got our guys here locked in and ready to go, and balance that with the fact that they're still playing football. So fortunately we got a couple weeks here before the games, and you know, contractually we're in a good spot, I think, with everybody, and we've had a great dialogue.
Ole Miss fans, football season is in the home stretch, an historic season for the Rebels. The NFL is on the road to the Super Bowl. Could all-time Rebel great A.J. Brown and the Philadelphia Eagles go back-to-back? Get off the bench and into the game with Underdog, the best place to get in on all the action all season long. Regular Talk of Champions listeners know I've been playing Underdog all year. Jackson Dart keeps delivering for the New York Giants. Think Trinidad Chambliss and Kewon Lacy will go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, touchdowns. They've been regular picks for me, and if you get your picks right, you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. Download the Underdog app today and sign up with my promo code CHAMPIONS to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS for $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 years or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms_DFS_HTML for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncgambling.org. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Ole Miss fans, for better or worse, I've been a nicotine user most of my adult life. I've tried it all. So when I recommend Free Pouches with their convenience, fast flavor, and fast effect, trust that it's coming from someone who knows. Free Pouches is a zero tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want simple and hassle-free without all the smoke, vapor, or smell that comes with. Free Pouches range from 3 megs to 15 with flavors from mint and wintergreen to watermelon and lush. I've always been partial to wintergreen, just like I was when I dipped, but at least this time there aren't endless nasty bottles to clean up. No, Free Pouches sit comfortably and release flavor evenly. They're perfect for meetings, commutes, or when you just need to throw one in to calm the nerves of an Ole Miss game. Even better, Free Pouches offer instant delivery straight to your door. So try Free Pouches today. Right now, Talk of Champions listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com with promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch.com, freepouch.com, and use my promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. Free, strength you can count on.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Well, it's interesting, too, with the roster retention piece. It's such a fluid and day-to-day thing, man, because, I mean, this isn't the NFL. I actually brought it up to Lane. I was like, would it be better if college football in coaching searches developed or put something together that was similar to the NFL to where you have to request permission, right? They get draft pick compensation. There's no draft in college football, but maybe NIL compensation, something like that. Didn't answer it, but, like, most other businesses, and it's easiest to point to the NFL, they have these guardrails in place. They have the workforce, the labor force, collectively bargains, right? And yet y'all are having to just say, hey, I'll meet you at 8 o'clock in the morning and we'll see. But how does that work? I mean, what are the conversations like? What are the questions you're usually getting from players? I mean, what is, I think that is such a foreign thing to people. So from your seat in the front row, roster retention, what does that actually look like from a macro point of view, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing too, and I think the question that we'll have to answer is just scheme. You know, what is the new schematic, you know, breakdown offensively and defensively look like? Obviously, defensively, you're not going to move much. Offensively, the plans is to keep the same scheme in place, but we got to get personnel in there too that can then talk to guys at some point. But, you know, after that, it's just, hey, you know, usually it's just general conversations with guys. And again, Walker's really, really good at this, and it does an outstanding job there. But just have an open dialogue with them. Hey, what are you thinking? Because these guys are everybody's getting hit up at this point, right? You know, mm-hmm. We're not naive to what goes on, but we want to make sure that we're taking care of the home front. And there's Walker right now walking in my office. So we're just talking about you. He's asking
Walker
about the
hey friend.
Oh, there he is.
You got a two
hey friend. On the end. Hey Walker. Now I don't know if you saw it.
Ben Garrett. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if you saw it. Barstool Sports makes a shirt. I'm not going to say what it says because I'm being respectful. But I told him I'm not getting a dime from whatever's coming out of this. Just give it to Walker. So if you see an influx of merch sales, just know throw your boy Ben like a hat or something. That's all I want to look for.
Well,
all right?
You need a new agent. That's poor business acumen on your part if you're not getting a penny of that. So
Ben, you would be great for retention.
That's right. See, you'd be a low cap hit, Ben.
Yes, if y'all are the adults in the room, if you want to help your stupid Ginger Shrek friend out one day, you let me know, okay? Y'all are the businessmen, not me.
Love you're
the
buddy.
Thank
I'll
you,
let you get back here with Matt. Howdy, toddy.
All right, man. That was fun. A little drop in from Walker Jones, the head of the Grove Collective here on Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. That's Matt McLaughlin, man. And Matt has been doing.
I don't know where we were on that, but I think open dialogue, man, as you can see right there, you know, yeah. We got, I think for the most part, they want to know what the compensation package is, just like any job. And, but you know, it's unique to the NFL or pro sports. Like it isn't yet, but we try to operate in a manner from the business side that would protect the interests of Ole Miss and our student athletes. But, you know, again, it's just open dialogue, figuring out, hey, are you happy? What is there anything that we need to work on? Is, you know, family home good, you know, family situation good, all that stuff that you would already talk to a student athlete about. And then it says, hey, we want you back. But we do have an evaluation process. And so there's sometimes that there's a disagreement. And I think that's from the way that we built this system out and the infrastructure wise, you know, we want the money on the field. You know, obviously there's an acquisition to all of that, but the way I look at this thing is you got to be competitive in it every year. I don't want to do, there's not this 3-year buildup and then hopefully it all works out. That's not the way we want to do it. We want to make sure that we're in it, because when you can control, you control what you can control, but you can't control injuries. You can't control turnovers. You can't control coaching changes in the middle of the year. Like, there's a lot of things you can't control, but what we can control is making sure that your process is built on evaluations and you value the kids based off of where they fall in their position group. So to me, you know, that's where there's maybe disagreement from time to time, but just making sure that we spend money better than everybody else will give us more of an advantage than over everyone. Cause I think that is where I think we are ahead right now. I think the way that we built this out, you know, we do have an advantage over a lot of schools. So, but again, sticking to that process will usually arrive. It keeps emotion out of it. Right. So that's the whole point of how we built it. Keep emotion out of it, stick to the evaluation, talk to the kid. If they disagree, they disagree. And then we go from there. But for the most part, again, it's where the kid's happy, the scheme works, and the package works pretty straightforward.
Well, it's interesting because I've mentioned this before. Is there a benefit? Because I don't know. I mean, all of this stuff is honest to goodness. For most people, make up your own rules. It's the Wild West, guys. But in your opinion, because I've said it before, having the right of first refusal, if you will, it's not truly a right of first refusal, but first negotiating chance, you know, the first time, like you're starting at a position of strength where there's a lot of fans that are going to go, well, I'm worried about this kid or this kid. And you've probably seen a lot of that yourself online and stuff like that. Being in the position where you have them in the room, you have them on contract, at least through the playoffs. Is that something that you found is a benefit when you do have those guys? Because most other contracts in the NFL don't have to worry about renegotiating after every single season. Unfortunately, in college football, you do. Being in a position of strength, is that something that actually exists, right? Or is it the minute the season ends, the contract is null and void and all bets are off, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think there's power. You know, I guess rephrase it a little bit. I think there's power of the incumbency, right? Like, they're here. So I think you have an advantage there. Because you're the known quantity. And I think if and that's why there's, you know, all that other stuff matters still. You know, we don't talk about it, but like their student athlete experience still matters. You know, if they're having a miserable experience here, they're probably not going to stay. So, you know, what we do in academics and what we do in student athlete development and all of that, like that stuff still matters. So when you have the incumbency with a kid, like you're going to have a little bit of an advantage, and it's always easier to stay for most people. Easier to stay, but then obviously you got to deal with whatever comes at you after that. So you usually stick to the evaluation, see where you stand. And then again, sometimes you gotta make hard decisions, you know, mm-hmm. Hey, again, there becomes a point where, you know, hey, does that even make sense where that person falls within their position group, or can we go find better value? I mean, unfortunately that is where we're at. And I think we're naive to not think that way, but for the most part, again, most of these conversations are pretty straightforward, and the coaches, the position group coaches are always super close to these guys. So they can give you an idea of just, hey, this kid's in a good spot. Hey, this kid's, you know, had a tough time here, you know, just trying to make sure that we are approaching the guys in the right manner and doing it in a great way, and make sure they feel good about it in the end. Cause again, you may get a disagreement, but for the most part, it's usually pretty straightforward and pretty easy.
Well, I'll get you out of here with this, man, because I think it's important. If the narrative is that an LSU is the New York Yankees, Ole Miss is operated like the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Tampa Bay Rays every single year in the playoffs and competing for World Series championships, certainly division championships, because they're better at what they do than most everybody else. And while they don't have necessarily the same wealth of resources, it's how smart you are with your resources. And I think that and I just want to be fair to it. I think to just, immediately, it was nice to see the College Football Playoff Rankings Committee bump Ole Miss up, because to say it's all because of one cult of personality is, I think, wholly unfair to people like Matt McLaughlin, Walker Jones, and the structure put in place, the players, you're robbing them of agency. So I think people will want to need to know that, you know, like, yes, the man that, that came here and built the monster was built around the whole analytics and evaluation and scouting department that's better than most everybody else. He was the person it was built around, but he wasn't the one alone building it, and that still remains. So I think that's an important distinction, man, because Ole Miss, y'all made it clear, there's no intention for Ole Miss to go anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, there's no intention for – like, it's keep rolling down the road.
Yeah, there's no question. And to me, you know, we've just got great leadership, and we talk a lot about alignment a lot. And that is a narrative that I like to talk about, because there's a lot of false narratives out there. But the one that is absolutely true is just how aligned the institution is from top to bottom. You know, the chancellor's been unbelievable. I mean, you can't say enough things about him. I mean, I'm telling you, and I've experienced it, like, when you don't have a chancellor that's on the same page with you, it can make it really challenging from an athletics standpoint. But not only one that you feel like supports you, but like advocates for you, right? Like, he, like, hey, this is important to me. Then that's a lot different than saying, hey, you got, you know, we'll take care of you. You know, just let us know what you need. No, he's an advocate for athletics, and he wants us to do well. And he empowers Keith to run everything. And that's huge. That's not, I don't say that lightly. And Keith, you know, I've worked for Keith for a long time. He's the best leader I've ever been around. And through the whole process, has been super calm, steady hand the whole time, which gives confidence to everybody else, right? And keeps every, because there are some days where you're like, man, this is a lot. There's a lot going on here that we didn't necessarily think we would ever experience. But in those times, you lean on that alignment and, hey, we're going to be good. And, you know, obviously Walker and all the work that he does. And, you know, I work obviously close with him, but then Denson, at the foundation, that whole staff, you know, a lot of unsung heroes at the Ole Miss Athletics Foundation, and, you know, Taylor Hall in compliance, Bob in academics, I mean, go on, Angela in the business office. I mean, everybody is locked in on winning at an extremely high level. And we built this thing for the long term. The one thing I regret, the last dance, we should have never let that take that. That was never how we operated. It was never the thought process. It's never the mentality. To me, it's just, hey, now it's time to rebuild and reload for next year. And we're going to stick to those principles that we have in place, and not just in football, in every sport. You know, that's what keeps me up at night, is just, how do we compete at such a high level in everything? Because that's what we want to do. We want to be great in everything. And I don't know if that's possible, but we're going to die trying. That's the only thing that I can promise. And so from the football stake, you know, I guess since that's the hot topic, we're in a great spot, and we're going to reload with some awesome players. And I'll tell you, man, the biggest regret in all of this was just the lack of spotlight on these guys, because
damn right,
getting around them, especially closer than maybe I normally are, like, they're just locked in and they're so excited for the new staff to come in and Pete's leadership. And I think you're going to see a very, very hungry football team come roll out there on the 19th or 20th, or maybe later, depending on how this thing plays out on Saturday. But we're in a really good spot here at Ole Miss. And you got people in the right place that are committed to the institution and want to see the long-term success there. So we're in a great spot.
Well, as someone for the last 4 days who has been associated by his own fault with a ludicrous line with Project Pat, to hear my guy say, we're going to die trying, I'm first thinking, dang, Matt McLaughlin's dropping some 50 cent on Talk of Champions right here now. We're going to get rich or die trying, is what he's saying. And if you are doing more work on the ground, boots on the ground, than Matt McLaughlin, Walker Jones, Keith Carter, buddy, thank you for coming on this podcast. And I know the work you put in, the hours you've put in, and I know Ole Miss fans can't thank you enough. But more than anything else, bro, keep pounding the rock, because, again, while everyone can say, well, big bad LSU or Florida or whatever you think is a blue blood, Ole Miss for the last however many years, three at least, has been better at what it does than most everybody else. If you want to call them the Yankees, well, then Ole Miss is the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Tampa Bay Rays has been taking the Yankees to the woodshed more often than not over the last decade. So he's Matt McLaughlin, my guy, Senior Associate AD for Strategy and Cap Management. Thank you, friend. Let's do it again.
You got it. Thanks, Ben.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.